Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
In the land, there is a need for fresh release of the rain. We are just shadow boxing, doing cut and paste. He has hid his face from us for a long time, and we can't discern the poverty of our soul. Men must see him for themselves. Beyond all a man can tell you about him, we'll cry tonight, I want to know you. I want to see you. What do you think Apostle Paul was crying for? A man Jesus appeared to. A man that retreated to the wilderness of Arabia. Spending time knowing him. He woke up one day and said that I may know you. And the power of your resurrection. And the fellowship of your suffering. Being made conformable. I don't know about you, but tonight we are summoned to the mountain of encounters. All men must see him face to face. If you seek him with all your heart, he will show himself to you. When you know him, you have a purpose for your generation. Listen, please, just try and gather yourself. Be seated. God bless you. I made the entrance from this point tonight because of a crisis in my spirit. It's a great pain the Holy Ghost has casted upon me. It was never the intent of God to relate with man on the basis of knowledge. There were many trees in the Garden of Eden, but there was a particular tree God told man never to touch. Before you talk about evil, the knowledge also was good. So it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Reason behind that is because God wanted man to know him, not to know about him. There are two big differences between these things. Pastor Amos can tell you anything he knows about me, and the totality of what you will come into are informations about me. But until you meet me, you don't know me. Because whatever Pastor Amos is telling you about me, they are outcomes of his own interaction with me, and I must have evolved. Anything he tells you about me is my past. Until you can meet me, you don't know me. This is the reason why God never intended to interact with man on the basis of knowledge. So he says, of all the tree in the garden, you may eat. There are two things I want to draw your attention to. There are many trees in the garden, but two among them have the stature to stay in the center of the garden. One is the tree of life. The other is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Both of them are in the midst of the garden. Midst means center. The reason why the tree of knowledge was in the center and the tree of life was also in the center is because in that same garden, there is going to be an accommodation arrangement between a man and a spiritual entity. So Adam is not the only occupant of the Garden of Eden. That garden is also the house of Lucifer. When he was carrying out his God-ordained assignment as light bearer, his place of habitation was the garden. Can I show you a scripture? The Bible says, "How art thou cast down, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How hast thou fallen?" He started showing us that you were in the garden. You were in Eden, the garden of the Lord. Every precious stone was thy covering. I want to show you why the Bible gives us this foundation is to establish a truth with us. So you know that the reason why God was giving Adam those specific informations that Lucifer was in the garden, every precious stone was his covering. It is important that we come into these things so that you see that actually Adam was going to share habitation, but he was going to stay inside the garden as a governor. Maybe we read together. No. I don't think this is Ezekiel 28, verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 28 and in verse 13. Can we have it projected, please? At the count of two, we read together. One, two, go. Has been in Eden, the garden of the Lord. It doesn't make sense from here. Go to verse 12. So that when we talk about thou, it's important we know who we're talking to. Let's read together. One, two, go. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the son of wisdom, perfect in beauty, right? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Listen. Let me show you what is being communicated here. Go back to verse 12. I establish a few coordinates and then we take flight. Please, can we be fast? Just go to verse 12. God sent his message to his prophet, and the message is, take up a lamentation, son of man, to the king of Tyros. Now, as at the time God is sending that prophet, there was a physical king over the city of Tyros. This is the indication why God told us to pray for our leaders. This is the reality behind power, that anywhere there is control and power, spirits are attracted to those seats. That when God wanted to address Satan, he sent his prophet to a king. Say, go and tell the king this thing. The thing that is inside the king will hear the message I'm telling him. Which king was in Eden? Is he as old as Adam? Do you think we are talking to a king? How can you tell a king thou was in Eden? How can you tell a king that every precious stone in Eden was your covering? How can you tell a king you are perfect in beauty? He was not talking to a man. It's a spirit he was addressing. They look beyond the physical charade. See, spirits are contending for power in the earth realm. And anywhere power is, the attraction of spirits is there. You see things that control power. One, you see wealth. Spirits are jealous about wealth because of the power it controls in the world of men. So wealth is spiritual warfare. If you must break into it, I'm not talking survival. I'm not talking hand to mouth. I talk about wealth. The kind of money you can use and change somebody's destiny. See, there is a level of wealth you have like this. You can buy a street. Just buy it. You don't know what to do with it yet. Offer everybody on the street at least 2 times the worth of their houses. Everybody will move. I heard of a man who did that in Benue State. That he bought a street. Just to name it after himself. Wealth is power. This is the reason why, as we contemplate on these things, you will eventually see how the God of this world, how he establishes his domain, his government, he builds it around these systems. Take up a lamentation, son of man. Take it up with the king of Tyros. Go and meet the king, but don't talk to a man. That's what the prophet was instructed. So when he was talking to the king, everybody around the king will be looking in confusion. What kind of mad prophet is this? They will think he's speaking gibberish, unknown to them. The creature that is being addressed is hearing it. See the utterance of the message to a king sitting among men. Thou hast been in Eden. The garden of God. In other words, if you forget what Eden is, he says, I'm talking about the very garden of God. He says, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, and the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Next verse, quickly. How can you tell a king thou art the anointed cherub? Is a king a cherub? Thou! I want to show you a few things now. Listen carefully. Inside this same message, you will see the prophet using past tense in some narrative. In some narrative, he's using present tense to establish that the matter has not changed with God. When it came to the anointing, he says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. When it comes to the place where he stands, his office, to administer his duty, they say, thou was upon the holy mountain. Was. The holy place has discarded you out, but you still carry rudiments of the anointing. The power is still around. You can still manipulate the elements. Anybody that is hyping and motivating you against darkness without power, you will suffer. Do you know that the moment God sent Moses and said, go and tell Pharaoh, do you know the magicians of Pharaoh had the capacity to replicate every sign Moses was showing them? It is to the end that we had that final siege about death of the firstborn. That's where everybody now calm down. But anything Moses did, they will replicate it. In your mind, you think they are doing black magic. They are producing results too. That's the reason why Pharaoh was not moved by anything Moses was saying. You drop your stick, it became snake. My guys will drop 2 sticks. You see, just because you prayed for 21 days and small vistas of revelation began to open to your eye, he now came out and said, I am Prophet Zebudiah. Oh. There are people in the rank of darkness who have more insight to the future than you, and they are not carrying any title. They are moving around quietly. You will collide with them one day. You, with your ways that is not straightened with God. See, this is the reason why the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. You must know I'm actually in a war front, and I should live as a soldier. If a soldier is distracted for a few minutes, he can die. You are in a war front. You were born into war. The realm is a hostile space. There are two governments contending for dominance. So God wants to establish his kingdom here, but there's another kingdom that has set base here already. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. You need to understand the place Satan was operating before. He was not only a cherub. Cherubs are creatures of light. When the Bible was explaining the visage of a cherub, it says they are covered with eyes. It means there is no secret or mystery of God that they are veiled from. They are the ones other angels ask about God. It is only them and seraphims that have the ability to operate around the throne. Cherub and seraph. When you look at the covenant of mercy God instituted with man, when you look carefully at the ark, that ark of covenant, you will see carefully that there are cherubs keeping their eyes down before the throne of God. You know why? Everything that actually characterizes the secrets and the mysteries of God, cherubs are custodians of mysteries. Why cherubs are custodians of mysteries? They are revelators. It means they bring what God has revealed to them to the knowing of the others. So they can release God's heart to a dispensation. So there is a very organized chain of information. God does not need to broadcast it. He makes his heart known. Those who publish it, great is their company. They receive it as a burden in their soul. They begin to broadcast it. Now, even among men, there are men that operate like cherubs also. Every rank of angel you see operating around the throne, there are also physical operations in the world of men. Have you not read when the apostle John the Beloved was caught up in the revelation? He saw a creature full of glory. He wanted to bow down to worship the creature. The creature said, "Don't try it. I'm one of your fellow brethren." Then he introduced which battalion he operates in heaven. He says, "From the rank of the prophets." Meaning there's a prophetic tribe in heaven also. It's not only earth that have prophetic men. In heaven there are prophetic angels. What they are into, are we together? Just as you find physically, God has a host, an army, who are waging war on this side of reality. There is also an army of the host of God in heaven. So in the war of Jericho, it's the captain of the host of God that appeared to the captain of the physical army of Israel. A man appeared with a sword drawn. And Joshua went up to meet him and said, "Are you for us or against us?" In other words, if I understood what Joshua was asking him, Joshua was saying, "Choose your words carefully." He didn't know that the one who came, his domain is not earth. He didn't know that he is a learner where this one is. This one have fought wars in aeons before him. The man looked at him and said, "I am neither for you. You have no ability to wield me. I take instruction from the commanding officer." He says, "I'm not for you. I'm not against you. Lo, I am the captain of the host of God." You know who came? It's Michael. He didn't even tell him his name because the errand doesn't need introduction. "I am the captain." Meaning inside heaven there is an army, and that army have a captain. The person commanding the host of God enter time. Because he wanted to come and disclose secrets of war to a man who was commanding a physical host of God. I'm trying to show you that angels doing similar, angels doing similar work to what you are doing, they will be the one to make themselves known to you. Who did you think appeared to Zechariah? It's Gabriel. What did Gabriel introduce himself as to Zechariah? "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God." Who is Zechariah? Zechariah is a priest. A priest is a man that stands in the presence of God. So an angel of the presence will appear to a man of the presence. It's your kind that come to you. Your kind. You are not alone. There's no ministry that doesn't have a root in the spirit. That thing you are doing, there's a realm where we have civilizations of the spirit prospering in it. The day they want to show you mercy, they will disclose secrets from their realm to you. How they prevail. Can we cry for a minute wherever we are? darkness. Show me something heavy. Something bigger than pride. Something heavier than self-centeredness. Something weightier than ambition.
Ancient light, show me things you have hidden for the age to come. Ancient one, ancient light, show me things you have hidden for the age to come. There are like a fool, there I may not be laboring like a fool. The labor of fools, it wearies them, it wearies them. Show me things.
If you know the theater we are operating, it will put on your battle clothes quickly. When he began to show us the array of a believer, he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Carry the shield of faith. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You know what he's telling you? Keep up, keep up. Keep this civilian attire aside. Put on your military regalia. We are at war.
Yes, you are hidden from the eyes of men. Show me things you are hidden from the eyes of men.
On the whole armor of God, the whole, the total, dress completely. Don't leave any aspect, don't leave any aspect to chance. Put on the whole armor of God. I wish I was not in a meeting now. I just want to dialogue with him. I want to spend time communing and ministering to him. I don't know about you, but I seek something personal. There are too many stories. I want to know him. The economy to meet him is on life. It's not knowledge. Life was organic. You just, it's one-on-one. Life is personal. Life is not, it's not actually a congregational thing. Everything I'm telling you now is an attempt to drag you to a place. When you appear there, it will be only you and him. He will behold you. Things will enter your soul that words cannot convey. There are cadres of light. Words can't carry them. Words are too weak to bear them. So man must be brought to pedestals in the spirit where they are conferred on your soul. Some of them settle on you like a burden. You don't know how. Something is troubling you to the altar of prayer. It's light that came on you. See, I am teaching now. Even my words are too weak to communicate his oracles. So there is a place words can carry you. It will stop at a place. The Holy Ghost will start journeying further. There is a truth I can't tell you. Only the Spirit discloses it to your heart. Those things are whispered in your soul. Words cannot convey them. They are actually veiled in mysteries. So man cannot actually reveal it to you. If it is not given to you, you can't know it. Hi, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
take up a lamentation. Go to the king of Tyros. Tell him this thing I'm telling you. I know it does not make sense to you. I know Ezekiel, what I'm telling you is not a conversation a man should be hearing. But don't worry, I know who I'm addressing. Go and tell the king this same thing I'm telling you like this. He says, tell him, son of man, take up a lamentation to the king of Tyros. Say unto him, the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum of wisdom. See, I'm showing you the creature you are warring against. He was a custodian of wisdom in his ordination. In the days of his voyage, he was a custodian of wisdom. Your human wisdom will not suffice where he is. He has handled wisdom that made spirits to abandon their ordination. A creature that can convince celestial creatures. Is it you with your very helpless intuition? Your human intellect cannot suffice. Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom. That's why once you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he has worked his fruit on your inside, when he approves you to have access to the gifts of the Spirit, one of the things that must be supplied to you is the word of wisdom. Because the enemy you are fighting. Meanwhile, the title of my discourse this night is the errand of power. The errand of power. That errand means message. What is the message of power? What does power seek to achieve? Why did God give us power? The errand of power. The errand of power. Oh, Holy Ghost. Your own tonight. Separate them. Separate them from weakness. Separate them. Place your hand heavy upon them. Anoint them with fresh oil. Prepare them for the assignment, the work. The work you have prepared them for. Endue them with power. Put upon their soul a hunger for purity, a yearning for righteousness, a blazing fire on their altar. Something this corruption cannot contaminate. Oh, put a sign upon their life. Leave a yearning that nothing in time can quench and satisfy. Separate unto yourself witnesses. Oh, Jesus. Let's go to the next verse very quickly. Next verse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Satan did not only participate in the secrets of God. Satan also doubles as a covering angel. I'm saying this because I want to show you the kind of access given to him in the day of his ordination. Cherubs don't cover. It's seraphs that cover. The work of seraphs is to shield the glory, to veil it. But there was a cherub that was given the job description of a seraph as well. So where Satan stands, even seraphs too have no accusation on him, because he has the clearance of both seraph and cherub. While as a cherub he is a custodian of light, as a seraph he can still cover. So he is not a seraph, but he has access to the things that the seraphs have as their own advantage with God, which is covering. So he is the anointed cherub that covereth. Then to show you why God can never forgive Satan, Because people have asked very funny questions sometimes. Somebody said, but so that everybody will rest, why can't God just forgive? Let everybody just... Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. This is why he cannot be forgiven. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stone of fire. You know what that stone of fire is? That's the purification plan of Zion. That's how celestials are consecrated. In the day they invited Isaiah, he said, come and behold the procession of the throne of God. When he left the realm of men, while he was with men, they called him Prophet Isaiah. They called him Major One. As they invited him to a celestial court where immortal creatures reside, as he stepped into the place, his title became weak immediately. A man who was a pillar of righteousness in his generation, he stepped into a domain that the purity criteria of that place swallowed up what he was. He became a sinner immediately in his eye. He started crying profusely. You know what the utterance of his sorrow was? He says, I am unclean and I live among a people. Meaning, I am actually contaminated, but I did not know. Because I stood out in my generation, but I have been brought into a domain where holiness and purity actually forms the basis of their procession. The moment he entered there and began to weep, began to cry, a feeling, a sense of insufficiency came upon him. The only way to treat that infirmity, that corruption, that filthiness he was feeling, an angel carried one coal of fire from these stones where Satan was walking to and fro. They took one and put upon the tongue of Isaiah, and that stone has the capacity to rid him of the corruption that was actually staying heavy on him as an accusation. Now, if they carry only one of that fire and put on Isaiah's lip, and it was enough to rid him of a sense of corruption, imagine a creature that was walking to and fro, up and down on that thing. Meaning, every time he appears in the throne room, he walks. Oh, the footmat is like the footmat before you enter the throne was the coal of fire. So the coal will sanctify you before you appear. Now, if you are given this opportunity to always be consecrated before you come, they say, how did you fall? There's no excuse. It's not because you were tempted, because everything that corruption can do, this fire, it will sterilize it. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. It's like you are in the deep place of revival. And in the greatest display of God's hand, you fell. Do you know what it means? God have nothing for you again. It's better that a people who never saw the hand of God, a people who have never tasted the weight of this power, you wield it. We gave you everything to guarantee your stay. They first started showing the exclusive arrangement God made for him. Things that only him had. He was the sum of wisdom. Perfect in beauty. Oh, I'll show you other scriptures. He says, every tree in Eden envied you. It was the envy of all other trees. And when scripture speaks in metaphors like this, is to show you trees are not guava and cashew. I sense a need to worship God. But you know, when I'm teaching, you can't abandon the people and start doing your thing. I would have faced here now and just be worshiping. All man for himself. He says, go and tell a king this thing. That's why when I see people without spiritual intelligence, bad mouthing leaders, bad mountain rulers, talking anyhow they like. Somebody just come and put a mic in your mouth, must you say something? So what do you think about Nigeria? And you say, you are about to scatter your life with your own mouth. Don't you know that any government you speak negative about can never, ever, ever favor you? I try to keep spirituality away from politics. It's the way of the elders. Have you ever seen Kumuyi talking about politics? Eh? Have you seen that the Kumuyi analyzing Nigeria before? That's why they last for long. Now I'm speaking to ministers of my generation. Don't be distracted. Stay with Bible. Just stay inside scripture. Be teaching scripture. Don't join any political party. Jesus is not a part of any party. Keep the weight of your ministry open to everybody. Are we together? Remember the instruction I gave about the matter, huh? When God gives honor to you, you fight to guard it. You protect it jealously. Can we pray for a minute wherever we are? Make me a man after your heart. Make me one who knows you, who fears you, who walks with you. Make me. I shared a few things over the weekend, yesterday and this morning, with the church. It was quite a profound time the Lord had with us, and I feel a need to emphasize a few of those points with us even tonight. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, very quickly. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8. Can we read together as loud as we can? 1, 2, go. I want to take you on a very brief journey tonight. It is my desire that we will not stay so long on it, but it will become for us a platform of very weighty encounters tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very popular scripture. I've read it over and over again, but we'll be looking at it yet again. It says, but ye shall receive power. Please say power. My sermon tonight is the errand of power. To what end were we giving power? To what end is the believer actually giving power? It was Miles Munroe that said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. The reason why people do not represent the interest of God, even when He anoints them, is because they don't know the errand of power. And so we look critically at this scripture, pick out a few truths, and then hold them dear to our hearts, even as we journey into the same realm of power that God is bringing before us. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So I want to share this with you quite simple this evening. When you receive Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, the average believer don't know what next to do with his spiritual life from then on. So you know what we start doing? We start contending for blessings, for breakthroughs, for favor. We start contending for promises. It becomes like we receive Jesus so that we can now lavish ourselves with the promises of God and enjoy those promises, and then we die and go to heaven. Unfortunately, this is the totality of the understanding of many believers. I gave my life to Jesus on the 12th of February 2005. And when you look at that believer carefully, the only thing he's celebrating is that I am still standing. Now, you were not saved to stand. You were saved to become a tool, an ambassador of the kingdom. You were saved to become an extension of the same kingdom that has shown you benevolence. You were saved to save others. He says you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That day you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Did you know who entered your life? It's the Holy Spirit. The Jesus you received as Lord and personal Savior that entered your heart and sat on the throne of your heart is the Holy Spirit that began to reign inside you. And when you received Jesus, the first errand of the Spirit of God on your inside is to produce the fruits of the Spirit. His first obsession inside you is to produce fruits. Fruits means he wants to animate the behavior, the character. He wants to animate the nature of God on your inside. So the Holy Spirit is more interested to first build in you the fruits of the Spirit before the gifts of the Spirit are released. And I'll tell you what power is in essence. In a simple term, power is a compendium of the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. Many times, we interpret power only as the gift. But I'll show you this evening, even the fruit is an operation of power. Because the moment he says you will receive power, he puts two conditions to what must be on ground before you enter it. He says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Meaning the person of the Holy Spirit must abide in you. And when that person abides, it is at salvation. When our spirit man is regenerated, the Holy Spirit now lives inside you. So the Spirit of God resides inside your spirit. That spirit that has now inhabited you will begin to live out his nature. The attempt to live out his nature is what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Please bring out your writing material because we'll take a journey tonight. I want us to list out the fruits of the Spirit so that you can now be honest with yourself and see what is at work in your life and what is not. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 22. Everybody, can we read together as loud as we can? 1, 2, go. Go back to verse 22 and write them down if you can. Start from love to joy, to peace, to long-suffering, to gentleness, to goodness, to faith. Take the fruits of the Spirit that you are walking seamless in. Take the fruits of the Spirit that are evidently captured. It means the Holy Ghost has prospered in animating this one in your life. Take it. I will show you why. If you have done so, hold it in perspective. We go back to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It means that when the Holy Ghost come upon you, one of the things he will do inside you is to begin to live out his nature through your life. And the compendium of that nature is the fruit of the Spirit. You will begin to see evident in the life of the person. Now, the reason behind this is that once the Holy Spirit has successfully animated the character of God in you, the gift of the Spirit will not be abused. I was telling them this morning, I've seen an evangelist with anger issues. Yeah. He was in the mission field trying to preach, telling somebody about Jesus, and the person said, I better come up for here, all these hungry pastors. You know what the evangelist said? God, I cost him with 600 years of suffering. How long can a man live for God's sake? 600 years. He doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit. So he is never supposed to even be in the mission field. Because the first place the fruit of the Spirit will start finding expression is inside your life. It will start teaching you the character of God. There are many people misrepresenting God because the character of God has not been animated in them. If you ever by any means stumble onto any gift of the Spirit without fully walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you will misrepresent God with the gift. You shall be witnesses unto me. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you shall be witnesses. Please say witnesses. Come on, say it as loud as you can. Witnesses. What is the errand of power? What is the purpose of power? Power is to make us witnesses. Meaning the reason why he released power to us is to make us ambassadors of his kingdom, representatives of his government, is to make us envoys of his government. Meaning we are now to reveal and communicate his kingdom to others. Any use of power, any show of power that does not eventually lead to the invitation of sinners unto God, that does not eventually lead to the glorification of the kingdom of God so that men can come to it, is an abuse of power. The errand of power is to the end that each and every one of us become witnesses. You know the first place your witness will start. If you read the scripture, can you shout the first place witnessing should start? Jerusalem. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Now look at me carefully. There is an interpretation of this scripture that is contextual. Contextual in the sense that Jesus was speaking as at the time to a people that reside in these regions. Regions where you can see Jerusalem, you can see Judea, you can see Samaria, you can see all the cities he's calling. But there's a prophetic interpretation of this same scripture. Meaning, even when cities like Samaria and Judea will no longer exist, the scripture was prophetically making reference to these particular cities Jesus is calling, deliberately showing you a particular structure in the spirit, that your witness should start first from Jerusalem. Jerusalem represents you. Jerusalem represents your body. Jerusalem represents your members, your being, your body. It means the first place witness should start. God cannot display power through you until he has prospered in you. It means that if God cannot rule you, he can't rule through you. God can't send the disobedient man to represent him. The first place God wants to conquer is you. Oh, there's an Adamic inclination every man has. Everybody has the propensity for corruption. Everybody have the capacity for wickedness. It's locking on everybody. If you see anybody going against his Adamic desire, there is a power that is given to you to override your own innate nature of corruption that came as a part of Adam's way. In John chapter 1 verse 12, he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become. Please whisper to somebody by your side, power to become. You know what power to become is? It's a power that helps you become what God is calling you. If God says, you are my child, there is a way a child of God should live. There is a power that helps you, even in the midst of the corruption of this generation, there is a power that helps you become a son of God. That power is what is being deployed when the Holy Ghost begins to live out the fruits of the Spirit. His using power to help you become a son of God. Meaning, when men are looking at you, your character, your words, your disposition, your actions, everything is communicating one thing. Somebody is new in this body. People who know you 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they came near you and realized all the things you used to do before. Even your passions before. A spirit has detained his power. Power to become. This is what happens in Jerusalem. There's only one instruction given to Jerusalem. Tarry. Tarry. Wait until you become. In Jerusalem, what the Holy Ghost wants to do, he wants to animate the character of God. His fruits that the Holy Ghost wants to produce in Jerusalem. This is the witness we bring to Jerusalem. You see, there are people gravitate to them, coming to seek spiritual clarity, spiritual help. And them, in their heart of hearts, they know that they are corrupt people. There are people that are wearing suit, wearing white and white from up to down. Men think that if anybody knows God, it's this person. But in your heart of hearts, you know that you are a stranger before God. You know you are corrupt before Him. Now, because of Jerusalem and the witness we must bring to it, everybody must be honest to themselves. In Jerusalem, you conquer yourself. The message you are about to preach to another person, preach it to yourself first. In Jerusalem, you apply the truth to you. The truth prosper in you before you start extending it. The first place the witness will start is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is you. You know what we do in Jerusalem? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It means in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit will take you through any and every dealing until the character of God is fully animated in you. Have you seen a chicken when she lays an egg before? A chicken is too busy. Goes out in the morning, only return in the evening or at night. But the moment she lays an egg, her routine will change. She is still hungry, but she will sit on that egg. She is trying to bring life. If she does not sit on the egg will remain an egg forever. Have you put egg in fridge before? Come back after 2 months, it's still an egg there. But there is a warmth that fellowship produces as she sits on the egg. Day one, she's there. Day two, she's there. Day three, she's there. She stays there for 21 days. You know what she's trying to do? She's trying to produce the right fellowship. Oh, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. He says, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is fellowship. Koinonia. He wants to sit on you. When he begins to sit, that's where he starts producing love. Joy. Many people don't know what love is. They're only texting people, I love you. They don't know it. Love is not a feeling. No, it's not a feeling. Feelings can change. Love is a posture a believer is kept inside. The person who walks in love, the love also satisfies him with a pleasure of love. So it's not only you giving it, God also gives you the pleasure of that love. You know, I am loved. So it is easy for you to give it out as well. Anybody that has not witnessed to Jerusalem is not permitted to witness either in Samaria or Judea. You will be an impostor because it's inside Jerusalem. You become true to yourself first. You and the message become one. That thing you want to go and tell people, Oh, the Bible says what Jesus began to do and to teach. In Jerusalem, he mixes you with the message first. every aspect of your life that is alien to the way of God in Jerusalem, he prunes you. That's where, like a mother hen, the Holy Ghost sit upon you in fellowship until the egg that was once a round whitish object, life begins to grow inside it. No external force is permitted to break the egg. If any external force breaks the egg, what you have is abortion. The only force permitted to break that egg is the growth of life that is inside it. The life has become too big for the small space, so it will crack it open. It means the protocol for announcement and emergence in kingdom is life. It's not Facebook. It's not YouTube. It's not short clips. It's life that announces men. There is a kind of life you enter. Your fame will spread immediately. Even if it's somebody that, how do you think Minister Theophilus came out? Do you think he went to any studio? They will just be doing normal recording. You will sometimes hear it so unorganized in the recording. But that small that was recorded, life was inside it. Meanwhile, people are going to studio doing volume 1, volume 2, volume 3. You do album, you stay like this on it, we suit. No, nobody want to hear. It's life that announces. Life will break the egg from inside. Life will come out of the egg. Life would say, I cannot stay within a cocoon anymore. There are many eggs rolling into mission field. Because I cannot say walking. You can't walk. They are rolling into mission field. When they now arrive at the mission field, so what is the message? They don't know. They start checking their jotter. If you know the tools of an evangelist, his message are not captured in books. They are not captured by... Sometimes he stands like this, his body. When he cast it upon the people, sinners start crying. They cry because a man is leaking. His soul is pouring out. It's an extension of what God has prospered in him that is now being shared out. But because we escape Jerusalem, any attempt to enter Judea or Samaria will show up there as imposters. You know what he says? Tarry means wait. Just wait in Jerusalem until. Wait. Don't run. Don't be too hasty. Wait in Jerusalem. What will happen to you in Jerusalem? The fruits of the Spirit. They will all be animated in you. I told you to write them out. So check. Be honest with yourself. Am I walking in love? If you can picture one or two people that you have put somewhere in your heart and say, these ones, I've realized that they think I'm their mate. As we are laughing, there are husbands that have filed an offense of their wife. It's in a library inside their heart. When anything happens, they go back to the library and say, in 1992, I just don't want to be talking, that's why. In 1985, hi, Jesus. This is my small ear. I've heard things. One man called one date one day in my office. I looked at the date. I was not alive when the thing happened. I said, I can't judge this matter. I was not even formed then. The thing has happened. Then I should be talking about it. When he was talking, I said, So I saw that it has been in his heart for all these years. There's no love in that heart. You know why? Love covers many faults. When you see a person always keeping offenses. Meanwhile, that bitterness, I have prayed for many people with debilitating diseases that are traced to bitterness. The doctors will check up to down. Nothing is wrong with you. But they are dying. It's bitterness the spirit hosted the infirmity on. Bitterness. You tell them, let go. They say, well, you don't know how the person, for your own life, you cannot forgive. Are you walking in love? I don't have time to stay on the fruits of the spirit one after the other. But if you go to joy, you will see that you don't have joy. Because What you are calling joy is excitement, and it is fluctuating from time to time. There is nothing you will tell me now that will take away my joy. My joy is in the Holy Ghost. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy is not the absence of challenges. Joy is not the absence of sorrow. There can be sorrow, but you know what joy is? Joy is a reminder that we have a hope that transcends this world. Joy is a location we stand in the spirit. When you see a believer walking in joy, you will think he's an unserious man. Because the things that make other people cave and begin to be moody and become so full of anxiety, you will see him still stand like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. It's joy. Joy is weighing everything and shifting it back. They say, where would the house rent come from? They expect you to start saying, oh, Jesus, so what are we going to do? Okay, let's pray first. Many prayer is from anxiety. A man who walks in joy. It was one of the elders that the Chris Devon that wrote a song. He says, there is this joy that I have. In spite of the sorrows that surround me. You need to go for these things. So you will die of BP for nothing. They just call you and say, Kai, the way this matter is now, your children will be sent home tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. What can worry do to change anything? Worry is an insult to God. Worry means you have forgotten his faithfulness of yesterday. Were you the one that paid last time's rent? Is it your wisdom that secured everything you are enjoying now? So why do you still behave every time as though God has never given you a reason to be at peace and know? You know what joy is? It's a posture of rest, even in crisis. There I have, in spite of all the darkness that surrounds me, and this joy is in my heart, and it comes alive every time I hear your voice. There's a peace that I have, in spite of all the sorrows that surround me, and this peace is in my heart, only comes alive every time I hear your voice. One more time. There's a joy in my soul, in spite of all the worries that surrounds me, and this joy is in my heart, and it comes alive every time I hear your voice. It comes alive every time I hear your voice, and it comes alive every time I hear your voice. Oh, it comes alive every time I hear your voice. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give. The world has no peace to give you. There is a joy we carry. People look at you, they are growing lean. You are drinking curry, you are adding weight. They say, what is going on? You have something they don't have. Joy. Joy. You are rubbing Vaseline, you are glowing. They are rubbing Caro White. They don't understand themselves. Joy. Hey. It comes alive every time I hear your voice. Oh, it comes alive every time I hear your voice. Recently, I heard a story that blew my mind. A lady just came back from Dubai. You would think with all of her travel, the vacation she's posting on Instagram, showing that she's living her best life. She came back from Dubai and she's envying a lady who is in a flat with her that has not even left Nigeria for once.
Oh, go for joy. Go for joy. Go for joy.
Every time I hear your voice.
See, there is something we have as believers. No Alhaji can give you. No hookup can give you. It's inside the corridor of the spirit. It's inside. We carry it on our inside. Don't let anybody bully you. You should pity the unrighteous. Pity them.
Every time I hear your voice, oh, it comes alive. Every time I hear your voice, oh, and it comes alive. Every time I hear your voice.
Look at me. When the Holy Ghost begins to produce these fruits in your life, He is targeting all the innate desire, the nature of the Adamic way that naturally puts man on the path of corruption. If we continue, I told you I'm not here to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But if we continue, we'll go through peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Huh? Oh, He will come. Look at me, look at me. Another way to render temperance is self-control. Eh? Everything telling you to do anything inside your heart, eh? There is a fruit of the spirit that controls the flesh. It's called self-control. The desire will pass your heart. But in addition to that desire, is a program, an emphasis that no, I cannot break the law of God. Is a fruit of the spirit, self-control. We're not even talking about sin yet. We're talking about something as little as, okay, let's say fasting. You cannot fast. You don't have self-control. Don't have. Anytime you see a bar, as well, your hand. No self-control. You are fasting like this. Eh? As you are fasting, Satan say, Kai, this fasting, Kai, oh boy, no be smart, you know. And then you now wear that face, that you know the fasting face. Guess what the time is? 11 a.m. You are already angry by 11. Then you say, hey, it's not easy. Make us sleep small. Then you go and sleep. As you are sleeping, Satan come and whisper in your ear, vegetable soup. Somebody say, Pandeya. Then, all of a sudden, a believer who knows what the fasting journey is, now 6 p.m. all of us talk. You see him, he just said, Akai, only the living can serve the Lord, actually. Do you know where they call Mama Lucky? I have done cheap publicity for the woman. If you want to find some of our pastors, just go and look. Well, go and hang around there. Just be looking at the door to Mama Lord. Somebody here is a bono soup. Any day you see it, you can't rest. No self-control. Now, if you cannot exercise control over food, you can't control any other appetite. Food is the place you rehearse self-control. You can't say no to food. You can never say no to sex. Never, ever, ever. If I see the way you are with food, I know whether you are a man of corruption. I already know. You don't. If you like wear white suit, if I see that your hand cannot stay away from food, I know that your sexual appetite too have no boundary. You can't tame it. You can't tame it. There are some people sitting here, you have already fallen. The only thing Satan is waiting for is opportunity. He's just waiting for the right time to. Because all this while, all of us are together. We are always in church. When we are not in church, we are always visiting you. So Satan have not found the small space. But he knows that you are falling because of your heart. There's no self-control. Once a lady say, hi, that's all. You start typing. So who do you say you are again? say patience. I know many patients. Which patients in particular? You can see gravitate like a sheep led to the slaughter, looking for death by himself. There are many high. My response is block. Simple. Oh, there was one day a friend of mine was telling me that he was just sleeping on his bed and somebody called him. When he picked it, he just hear, "Hello." He said, just. When you know Satan is looking for you, don't be careless. Just be running. There's nothing to make you run, but be running first. There is one sin the Bible advises us to run, flee. I don't keep female friends. It's a consecration. I don't keep female friends. The boundary of my association with, if you are a lady, the boundary of my association with you is either church. When we are done from church, there is no personal fellowship. I talk to you here in the hall, and that's all. So can we see on Tuesday? No. They are joking. Do you know the challenge with this world? People already hate you as a pastor. So they are looking for one small chance. Even if the rumor is unfounded, they will rather believe it against the truth. Remove yourself from anything that can put you in the wrong narrative. Within your power, remove yourself from it. You know that the way you are standing with that lady, people can think there is something. Why are you standing like that? Why are you saying only God knows the truth? People are careless with their ministry. They are very careless. Very careless. The case was brought to me. Ladies are coming to cook indomie for man of God. And he will just come out of the house tying towel and they are cooking indomie. Senior man. Hey! Your type is rare. You have stature. Today is this batch, tomorrow is this batch. So different ladies are coming. This one will come and cook ogbono soup. This one will come and make vegetable soup. And you are there. Your neighbors are seeing you. You think you can witness to them? Let's even assume nothing is going on, which I hardly doubt. I. When the fruit of the Spirit is produced, then the Holy Ghost extend the sphere of your witness to Judea. The reason why in Jerusalem he conquered you and animated his nature is because that nature will be your token of witnessing in Judea. In Judea, Judea represents and stands for your in-group. Your in-group means everybody who have direct contact and link to you. Your in-group are your children, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, people who are seeing you, people who are observing your life, people that you are not showing up to from time to time and withdrawing back, people who are watching the way you are spending your 24 hours. They are right around you. The tool of witness to Judea is the fruit of the Spirit. Judea have seen you finish. Judea has familiarity for you. So Judea will never sit down for you to say, "Let us open our Bible to Exodus chapter." Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you opened scripture to preach to your father? Tell me whether you can do it, whether it's easy. Before you start talking, he will first tell you, "Bring your Bible first." Do you know who bought you this Bible? You know how you minister to Judea? It's your lifestyle. And that lifestyle is powered by the fruit of the Spirit that was the errand in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, the Holy Ghost was animating himself, because that thing he has animated becomes your token of witness in Judea. How do you tell your brother this thing you are doing is wrong? Jesus loves you. When he knows that you too, you are a man of corruption. The only tool of witness in Judea is your life. And that life, it is the very fruit of the Holy Ghost that has been animated in you, that is the tool of your witness. I don't want to dwell here too much. You know why when many men of God are prophesying, their wife don't say amen? The things I'm saying, I know what I'm saying. You know why when many men of God are teaching, their wife cannot jot? It's because his witness to Judea is faulty. Judea know his lifestyle. Man of God will come preaching about prayer. Hey, little... The wife will say, I have never heard you praying in my life. We have been married for 20 years. The man will say, if you don't pray, your heaven is closed. The key of prayer. Prayer is the ladder between earth and heaven. He's only talking. She said, me, I know this man. These are the contemplation inside her heart. Because she comes from Judea. In Judea, Judea know you one on one. Man of God is talking about love and forgiveness. The wife says, no, my husband be this. Love one another. We went to visit a brother. And we told the neighbor, because we couldn't meet him, told the neighbor we are looking for pastor. So. And the neighbor started laughing. You know why he was laughing? I was saying, pastor, this is the guy. So I'm going to come. See you. Judea, I know you. Your witness to Judea is your lifestyle. That's how we bring witness unto Judea. You know why the children of many servants of God don't want to serve the God of their fathers? It's because they are part of Judea. They have seen things that the pulpit veil. Can we pray for a minute? Hey, Jesus, I have not even gone to Samaria. I have not touched the uttermost part of the earth. The time has finished. I can boldly say too that time is a burden. I wish we can do Bible study for 4 hours. Just pray. Every way I have misrepresented you, every way my life has discouraged people from coming to you, every way I have not maximized my witnessing capacity, Holy Spirit, I return to Jerusalem. Animate your nature. Animate your character in me. Holy Spirit, I come again. Some of you ran out and you became so busy, and your life began to show you evidence that you didn't actually witness to Jerusalem before you went to Judea. Can you return back again to the place of fellowship? The place where he sits upon you like a hen sits upon an egg. Search me through and through till my heart becomes a home for you. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I have and all I know. Search me through and through till my heart becomes a home for you. Holy Ghost, sit upon me. I don't have love. I don't have joy. I don't have peace. I don't have peace. I don't want to lie. Sit upon me, Holy Ghost. Produce the nature of God in me. I don't have self-control. I don't have it. My desires are stronger than my will. Give me the fruits. Animate them. this is your prayer. Abide in me, Holy Ghost. Don't leave me. Sit upon me until life is generated from the inside. Sit upon me. I don't want to be a pretender to my generation. I don't want to mislead people. How long do you think you can cover pretense and hypocrisy? How long? Hi. There are non-verbal patterns of witnessing. It's your life that is message. They are watching you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let them see Jesus. Can you talk to God where you are? We are all praying now. Anywhere you are, help my heart, Holy Ghost. Sit upon me. Brood over me. The way a mother hen brood over her egg, brood over me. I'm just an egg. This is not the dimension you created. I know I can be more than this. So sit upon my destiny, Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is recalling from Samaria, from Judea. He said, come back to Jerusalem. Come. Come, let me conquer you first. I will send you to the nation, but come first. Come. We will shake the nation, yes. But let me shake your life first. Let me prevail over you first. use my everything. I sacrifice my everything. Take my everything. Anoint my everything. Use my everything. Sacrifice my everything. Take my everything. Take all of me. All of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me. A time will come. Jesus will look at Peter. He will tell Peter, go to the river. Throw your hook into the river. He's talking to Peter because Peter is a trained fisherman. A time is coming. That gift of the Spirit, it will add to your skill and it will produce wonders. Who withdraws money from a fish? Jesus said, Peter, go and do your skill. The normal craft you know how to do. Go and do it. In the midst of doing it, you will meet a miracle. Because for you now, the supernatural is involved in your natural outcomes. Oh, you are braiding hair. Something can come upon that skill. You know what the prophet asked? He said, what do you have in your house? You know what God asked Moses? What is in your hand? I want to put something on something. Anoint my everything. Take my everything. Somebody is saying, Lord, I just have a voice. I have no connection. I have no link, no resources. But I have a voice I can give you. It's enough. Somebody say, I have certificate. It's enough. Somebody say, I have a skill. It's enough. He will put the anointing upon it. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me.
All of me, Lord. You have my everything.
Who told you? One sale of one day, one contract of one time you just enter, it can settle you for life. The ways God can bless you, there are too many. You are the one with your limited faculty. You are the one thinking, I will have to go and work for 21 years, for 35 years, then I will now save all the money, I will now use it to start a business. Don't limit God. You sleep one day as a prisoner, wake up the next day as a prime minister. Only God can turn your story like that. He is still in the business of taking the beggar from the donkey and setting him among the princes. When we get into Samaria, the theater of our witness is the gifts of the Spirit. Samaria have no time. Samaria have no relationship with you. Samaria does not know you from anywhere. Samaria are the systems you are a part of. Your job, your business, the market. Every time you go out there, they only see you when you come. You go back again to your house. Samaria don't know you in depth. The only tool you can use to witness to Samaria are the gifts of the Spirit. Every time Jesus enters a multitude or a crowd or a new city, he does not start teaching. He will heal somebody first. He will identify somebody under oppression and heal the person. Then a crowd will gather on account of the publicity of that majestic display. When the crowd gather, he will begin to teach them what he began to do and to teach. The gifts of the Spirit are the witnessing tool for Samaria. When we go out for crusades, it's the gifts of the Spirit that's the tool of evangelism there. They can never know you because they don't live near you. They don't even know you. They don't know where you stay. So they can't observe your life. You can only use the gifts of the Spirit. When we go to the altar, I'm rushing it. I can't teach these things now because time has gone. When we now proceed to the uttermost part of the world, the theater of your witness is influence. Influence. In Isaiah chapter 60 verse 3, it says, Gentiles will come to your light. kings to the brightness of your rising. It means he will multiply your influence. He will multiply the value of your gift. Men from far and wide will begin to talk about the hand of God upon your life. That's when you enter a nation and a stadium is packed up. It's God that blew your trumpet. He blew it into nations. He knows you need it to witness in this capacity. If you are going to go into the uttermost part of the world, you need influence. Influence and visibility. It will serve as the tool of your witnessing. The errand of power. You have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience, you have long suffering, you have temperance. My brother, you are already walking in power. The power to become. There is a power that has made you live above the rudiments of the flesh. It's the first corridor of power. But there is also other realms of power that help you bring men out of captivity. That's where gifts of the Spirit comes from. When we go into the arena of gifts, we talk about the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, workings of miracle, healing. We talk about faith. I can show you that there are believers here. I would, if we have time, you would have written them down, the 9 gifts. And I will show you which one are you deliberately working in. And when I say deliberately, which one are you putting pressure on? I was teaching them this morning. God actually wants to lavish all gifts through every believer. But it is the one you demand, the one you put pressure on, that begins to flow through your life. Contrary to popular opinion, people say, these are my own gifts. There are no gifts that are limited to you. You can walk in all if the demand for them was placed. If God sent you to be a witness unto him, and you came before a people who are full of infirmity and sickness, will God allow them to go back like that? It is God that is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, part time, what is the need is what he flows out through you. Has God blessed us? Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over.
Transformation is sure by the word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us on 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anakazopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26-767-6055. +233-26-767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.